From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. This September will mark 50 years since Jack Kerouac's On the Road hit bookshelves. Its unusual style stirred controversy and admiration at the time, and the book continues to sell 100,000 copies a year in the U.S. and Canada alone. Legend has it that Kerouac wrote On the Road in 3 weeks, typing it almost nonstop on a 120-foot-long roll of paper. But as Andrea Shea from member station WBUR reports, the book actually had a much longer, bumpier journey.
For its anniversary, Kerouac's On the Road scroll is on the road. Right now, it's in Lowell, Massachusetts, where the writer was born in 1922 and then buried in 1969. Bringing the manuscript to Kerouac's working-class hometown has been a powerful experience, says Jim Canary. He's the Special Collections Conservator at Indiana University, but he's also known as the Keeper of the Scroll.
I feel really close to it. It's really strange sometimes just, you know, riding in a limo, just me in this black box, you know. It has a presence. It really does.
As he talks, Canary assembles the display case he's brought along to house the scroll. 120 feet of thick, opaque paper, 8 sheets taped together. Canary says Kerouac finished it in 1951 after a 3-week typing binge.
He typed about 100 words a minute, so the idea of taking an 8.5 by 11 sheet, putting in his typewriter and typing, just when he was getting flowing with a good thought, he'd have to stop and break that.
So he just rolled it along almost breathlessly, quickly, fast, because the road is fast, to quote Jack.
That's John Sampas, Kerouac's brother-in-law and executor of the writer's estate. While Kerouac did compose quickly, Sampas says a partial truth has held fast since the writer appeared on the Steve Allen Show after On the Road was published.
Jack, got a couple of square questions, but I think the answer would be interesting. How long did it take you to write On the Road?
3 weeks.
How many?
3 weeks.
3 weeks.
This gave the impression that Jack just spontaneously wrote this book in 3 weeks. I think what Jack should have said was, I typed it up in 3 weeks.
The frenzy of typing matched the free-flowing prose that made Kerouac famous.
All the stories I wrote were true, because I believed in what I saw. I was traveling west one time, at the junction of the state line of Colorado, its arid western one, and the state line of poor Utah. I saw in the clouds huge and massed above the fiery golden desert of Evenfall, a great image of God, with forefinger pointed straight at me.
In downtown Lowell, a few blocks from where the scroll is now on display, Kerouac scholar Paul Marion stands in the middle of a massive granite monument to the writer.
In part, Kerouac cultivated this myth that, you know, he was the spontaneous prose man and that everything that he ever put down was never changed, and that's not true. I mean, he was really a supreme craftsman and devoted to writing and the writing process.
In truth, Marion says Kerouac heavily reworked On the Road, first in his head, then in his journals between 1947 and 1949, then again on his typewriter. Between 51 and 57, Kerouac tinkered with as many as 6 drafts, says John Sampas, in a desperate attempt to get editors to accept his work. He digs out a letter from Kerouac to fellow beat Neil Cassidy, dated June 1951. Cassidy was Kerouac's inspiration for the Dean Moriarty character in On the Road.
Dear Neil, your offer, exciting and generous and warm and true. I love you for it, but must tell you that I am completely f***ed. Drew didn't take my book. Harcourt won't publish it. Tomorrow I have to get agent, like beat young first novelists do.
I've represented him since the first day he walked into the office, which was in 1951.
New York literary agent Sterling Lord says he was immediately taken with the power of Kerouac's unconventional tale.
I didn't ever dream that this would be the huge seller that it has become, although I didn't think it wouldn't, but I felt that Jax was a very important new voice and he ought to be heard, and I was totally convinced of that.
Lord pitched On the Road to publishing house after publishing house, only to be told the manuscript was unpublishable. He says one of the book's biggest advocates, though, was author and editor Malcolm Cowley, an advisor to Viking Press. John Sampas, Kerouac's executor, shares an internal memo from Cowley, dated 1953, that reveals even Cowley had reservations.
False. The author is solemn about himself and about Dean. some of his best episodes would get the book suppressed for obscenity. But I think there is a book here that should and must be published.
Despite that endorsement, Viking rejected On the Road.
Here's a little note in Jack's handwriting in a letter to Allen Ginsberg, dated May 1954. Book is now at E.P. Dutton's. New World Writing is sitting on four of my pieces. All the others are in my agent's drawers, unread and dusting. What the hell is the use?
And so it went, until the mid-1950s when, Sterling Lord says, a new crop of young, receptive editors and enthusiastic response to excerpts from On the Road printed in the Paris Review helped push Viking to publish.
After 5 years, Viking offered me a $900 advance, and I refused. I got them up to $1,000. They had the idea that Jack was, profligate with his money, and so they decided they would pay the money out $100 at a time. It didn't make any difference to Jack. He had a publisher.
But On the Road's journey did not end there. Viking sent the manuscript to its lawyers, who wanted the names of real people, such as Neil Cassady and Allen Ginsberg, changed for fear of libel. Other things were edited, too. Conservator Jim Canary is fond of pointing out the differences between the original scroll and the published book.
So here you see in the book, it says, "My aunt once said the world would never find peace until men fell at their women's feet and asked for forgiveness, but Dean knew this." That's the book, right? But in the scroll, it says, "My mother once said the world would never find peace until men fell at their women's feet and asked for forgiveness." This is true all over the world, in the jungles of Mexico, in the back streets of Shanghai, in New York cocktail bars. Husbands are getting drunk while the women stay home with the babes of the ever-darkening future. If these men stop the machine and come home and get on their knees and ask for forgiveness, and the women bless them, peace will suddenly descend on the earth with a great silence like the inherent silence of the apocalypse. I mean, that's a little different, don't you think?
Kerouac reportedly complained to Allen Ginsberg that Viking botched his manuscript. His agent Sterling Lord says the editing was handled gracefully. One thing that may never be known is how Kerouac wrapped up the story back in 1951. Again, Jim Canary.
The very end of the scroll is missing, and it's just a ragged edge. Jack wrote on there, "Ate by Potchke, a dog," and that was Lucien Carr's Cocker Spaniel. So we don't really have the original ending.
To celebrate the original publication date in September, Viking is releasing the bound version of Kerouac's unedited scroll with a reconstructed ending based on later drafts, so fans of On the Road can debate it for another 50 years. For NPR News, I'm Andrea Shea.
You can read from the beginning of the On the Road scroll and hear and see Kerouac read portions of his manuscript at npr.org.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.